All right, everybody. Good morning. Good morning on this Sunday morning. Can you believe we are only a few days away from Christmas? It's hard to believe. It's only 10 days away. Today is the 15th, I believe. Let me see. I was thinking I may be wrong. Yep, it's the 15th. Sunday the 15th. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. And I pray that everybody is doing well. It's so hard to believe the timing of where we're at on everything, huh? I mean, we're only a couple of weeks away from 2025. You know, when we was all growing up, we thought the world was going to end by 2020, remember? And remember Y2K? And how many remembers what you was doing on New Year's Eve at Y2K? You know, when they said, oh, the computers had to be updated, you know. But God has us here for such a time as this. And I just want to say on behalf of me and Pastor, you know, that we are so very thankful and grateful to be here with you guys, you know, to ride out this adventure and to decipher the times together, because can you imagine if we lived in a world where we didn't have other people to go through this with? Or like, you know, we've got Ardina and Bruce on here from Canada, you know. Could you imagine if we lived in a world and we'd have never met them, you know? So although the beast, you know, has taken over the internet, we do appreciate the time that we have had to be able to use this for God's glory and to be able to meet people from all over the world. You know, these are real people. And for years since I have been on the internet, I've had many people not understand my lifestyle, you know, because they're like, how can you, you know, have your whole life online, basically. And the fact that I have been transparent with my life. I mean, I've written books about my life. Everybody knows everything about me. You know, there's, I've been transparent. So I guess that's why it bothers me a little bit, you know, when people can't be transparent back when they want relationship with me. You know, it's like, you know, I've put myself out there. And that one guy that I was telling y'all about that I was having some issues with, you know, told him, look, sir, you know, let's talk, but I need you to be transparent with me. He cussed me out. He was telling me I was a hypocrite and everything just because I wanted him to be transparent with me, you know. But it is what it is in this hour, you know, and we want to be, you know, really get to know the people that are around us in this hour. And you have to understand why, you know.
It's trust.
It's trust, Papa says. That's true. Yeah, he said he has a problem with people not wanting to be trusted. You know, that's not wanting to be transparent in this hour because, you know, we're coming to the point, people, where they're going to be turning you in and stuff. So, you know, the deception is increasing to that point, you know, so we're going to be doing a lot more vetting. But anyway, so I want to make a few announcements before we get started. The Bible College is about full. I have two spots left. Now, I haven't really checked my email since last night, you know, when I did that show and we talked about a lot of the things that are happening. But there is two spots left, and I'm excited to see all the excitement around it. The first month is going to be on the identity, and it's going to be awesome because we're also doing a 40-day fast. And this 40-day fast will be a little different than our previous ones because of the hour we're in. We're not going to register everybody or anything and, you know, require anything out of you. The only thing we're asking is if you do the 40-day fast, just do the morning prayer calls, you know, so that way you can hear the word of the Lord and and be a part of the body. I mean, it's a corporate fast. Or at least listen to it. You know, listen to it later. And because the first class is the most important one, because it's on your identity. You know, who are you? It's going to be a lot of self-reflection before the Lord, and you cannot make it up that it's in the first 40 days of the year. You're given your first fruits. Look at Jesus was the first fruit. You know, the lamb that was slain. You look at the offering of Cain and Abel. You know, why did God prefer Abel's offering over Cain? Because he gave his first. You know, and we're giving our first, you know, through this. So it's going to be a really awesome time. And I have a separate band set up. And, you know, that way I can do quizzes and stuff like that. And it's going to be awesome. And it's not as intensive as if you went to a secular college or anything like that. So don't worry about the time as much. It's more of a commitment that you're making. And so the only thing that's really required is a 1 day a week class on Monday nights. And on this one, we'll be on Zoom. And it will be a, you know, Zoom is a really good teaching platform, you know, where I can use a board and write on it and all that. And, you know, we can do fun stuff in there and whatnot. So the first month, and then, you know, we have some books that we'll be doing and a journal. So the only thing that's really required is that, you know, for you to really focus on who you are with God. So you'll need to write in a journal every day, and which, you know, I've got them on order right now. And so you'll write in your journal every day, and you know, just we'll flow with the Lord through the you know, the first 30 days of the class. And then next month will be on the tabernacle. And I'm really excited about that. Okay, so you can go to our website, goem.us, and you'll see the link on there to the Bible College. Okay, then, and all of you that have signed up, you have already received your emails. Just check in your spam, because it came, you know, like at 12:30 in the afternoon or whatever. So just check there. And then, so our schedule for the rest of the year is this. This week is a regular schedule week. So we have Zoom on Thursday night. We have the prayer calls Monday through Friday. Miss Denise is in the Bible College, and this is going to be one of her great ways of her volunteer time. Denise, I was going to tell you, is taking the Fridays. So she's going to be doing the Friday prayer calls. And so I'm excited about that. But she already does outreach, because that's one thing in the Bible College I ask, that once a month you do an outreach, you know, and then you'll write a paper about it. You'll write about your experience in your outreach. This way, you know, it gets you accountable, and then you will present it to the class, which is pretty cool. But anyway, so this week is just a regular week. And then that's Monday through Friday at 7:30. And then on next week is Christmas. Okay, so next week there'll be no programming. So what I'm encouraging you guys to do is to take that time and get ready. Because when we come back the next week, we're going into the battle. Okay, so this is your last week of 2024. So spend this time. Go visit your family. Go visit your neighbors. You know, spend time with the Lord. Get out of the computer. Get out of the matrix. You know, get off your phones. Just spend time with your family and in the Word. And, you know, get ready, because the next week, which is New Year's week, when all this kicks off, you know, our world is going to change, you guys. It is going to change, and it's going to be pretty intense in just a few weeks. So we need this week to be with the Lord and to be quiet, you know. And then the next week on New Year's, we have a New Year's Eve service, which I'm excited about. It'll be that Tuesday night. We had prayer call that Monday. Then we had prayer call that Tuesday, you know, which is the, you know, the New Year's Eve day. And then that night at 10 o'clock, we will all gather together. That'll probably be our last time on YouTube, for real, you know, and that's on Tuesday night. And then that'll be until midnight or so, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit's doing. But that night we're going to take communion. We're going to do our official stuff that we do on New Year's Eve, you know, giving God 2024, thanking Him for all He's done, and crossing over into 2025 together. Now, as I did in my graphic about 2025 and what we will be facing, you know, on that graphic, you know, I showed a rainbow on there because that is what's going to be taken over. You know, the rainbow is the Noahide symbol, which happens to be the LGBT symbol. Can you believe that? But anyway, they are going to, so within that, you know, I put the justice symbol, you know, because of their Noahide laws, and then the arrest things, and then the angry things, and all kinds of stuff. So we've got, you know, as far as our persecution, as far as our, you know, trials and tribulations, it will be worse than we've ever experienced. So we need, you know, this time together, you know, to navigate through all of this. And so New Year's Eve is going to actually be the kickoff, okay? And then New Year's Day, we will not have prayer call that morning because we're up real late that night. And then the next day is Thursday. So Thursday morning we will do prayer call, but Thursday night we will not do Zoom. Friday, we will do prayer call. I mean, unless something comes up with Denise and she's out of town or whatever, then we won't do it. Because it is, you know, a holiday week. But the next week on that Monday, we are going to begin our regular scheduled program. Now, as far as the college goes, we will begin that on that next day. It actually begins on the 1st, on January 1st. So you will have, you know, the whole month. So January 1st, you know, we will begin, because we will have our own band, so every week you will get your assignments through band, but we'll go through that to all of those that sign up. Okay, so let's see what else. But on January 6th, we begin regular schedule programming, you know, for the rest of the year type of deal. All right, so I think I've done all of the announcements. All right, let's see. Yes, we have. Okay, so let's all go ahead and pray, and then I have a couple of songs that I would like to sing today. Pastor Sermon today, he is doing it on anger, and it's called Examining Your Anger. And I was like, wow, I'm on the chopping block today. I told y'all he's the best pastor I've ever had. It's God always dealing with me, but I'm always ready to be corrected, right? All right, so anyway, I have two songs that I would like us to sing. First is, you know, in respect of the holiday that we're in on Christmas, I would like to sing Silent Night. I talked about this last night whenever I did a little bit of the news about, they were talking about possible attacks coming to us on Christmas because they want to hit the Christian country on the Christian holiday, you know. So one thing I forgot to say about last night, and I do want it to be recorded, so people will be listening to this from all over the world. If you go and look at the Google logo this month, they have got the word Google, and they've got, in the rainbow colors. I'm looking at it right now. They've got Google in the rainbow colors, and then they've got, like lights around it. Come here, Papa. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. And then it looks like... Now, y'all may think I'm crazy, but this is what I see in the spirit, okay? See how it's got the lights around it? And this looks like a rocket, okay? And it's got a hook around the O is yellow with a yellow light. It looks like it's going to hook it and remove it, the middle of the country. You see? Hook it and remove it. So, like, the dividing, because, see... Trump just announced, Time Magazine did that, he was the man of the year looking sideways with a split face, black and white. I hate to do this during church, but it's just what I see. And he's looking at it, and it says underneath, that he is the president of the divided states. We've had a lot of chatter lately. We've had a lot of earthquakes over here, and this is where I live. There's a lot of earthquakes over here in the New Madrid fault line, which will one day, they say split the country in half. So are they going to try this at Christmas? I don't know. But you just can't make that part up. So anyways, I said in my heart on this Christmas that I'm going to make this like it will be my last. And I am going to enjoy it with all I have, kids or no kids. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is a holiday for us to be able to share, what the birth, we all know it's not his birth, but we use that day. But what does that birth mean to us? Oh, the Lamb was born, he was born in a manger. Such a beautiful thought of how heaven actually really came down in a human form and was born in a stall as cattle. Isn't that something? Because you think about all of us, it says we've been bought with a price. We have his seal. And what is the mark of the beast? He takes the cattle from God. They're now cattle to him. It's kind of really something, isn't it? But on that night, our Savior was born. Such a beautiful thought. How the star guided those wise men, because remember they didn't have internet back then.
Really?
Yeah. And so the star, like I was telling you guys, when the grid goes down or whatever, we have the Holy Spirit, so he's like this star. He'll guide us, to each other. We don't need internet. We just need the Holy Spirit. He'll talk to us. Anyway, so these wise men, they had the star and the angel said, go see them. So they went to their Savior that was born, and they gave him gifts. This is why we give gifts. And they gave him gifts, gave him the frankincense and myrrh. It's just so amazing when you think about how he was born. And then the angels sang. Wow. I mean, just think about it. Okay, so anyways, let's sing this song and reflect in our heart on what really happened that night. Silent night. Holy night, all is calm, All is bright round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Isn't that beautiful? Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. I'm going to read the whole thing so I want you to hear what the words are. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glories stream from heaven afar. Isn't that beautiful? Heavenly hosts sing hallelujah. Look at this. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Y'all forgive my voice this morning. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. Isn't that beautiful? Radiant beams from thy holy face. I can't wait to see his face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Last one. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels, let us sing. Oh, I can't wait. It's beautiful. Hallelujah to our King, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Oh, that's so beautiful. I mean, the magical night of when he was born, just so amazing. And then I have one last song before Pastor preaches. I woke up this morning and I wasn't feeling well. I was, sick to my stomach and stuff. So y'all just come here with me this morning. I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This little light of mine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm driving Princess crazy. Oh, let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Amen, bride, amen. All right, all right. I'm gonna hand this over to Pastor. I pray all of you guys have a wonderful day, and I will see you guys, well, hold on a minute, it's going crazy over here. Okay, everybody, here you go. Here is Pastor.
Do I need to plug it in?
No.
Good morning, everybody. Be solved. Anyway, hope everybody is having a good morning. It's started raining yesterday, late afternoon, and it's just been drizzling on and off all day, all night, and still that doing that now. I think they're talking rain for the next 3 or 4 days off and on, but the temperature is going to be good, so it doesn't sound like we're getting any snow, but the temperature is a little 40s and 50s, so praise the Lord, I say. I guess it's going to be ready this year. We turn to Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. There in Excel. I guess I was reading in Proverbs. It must have been earlier in the week or last week or whatever. And reading in Proverbs 19, I guess it was, and this one verse that really stuck out at me, and so I was pondering on it, and then the one word come up, anger, and so I started just kind of, if most of you know me, I just got to do it. I'm a word person. You know, what does that word really mean? What does that word really mean, and how do they come together? And to highlight the actual verse and give more meaning to it, and more word, more power. So that's okay. And what I'm going to do is going to share about this word, anger, the words around this verse here. Chapter 19 is, you know, about different moral, ethical, and spiritual precepts, okay? And that's what a lot of Proverbs is all about. But I want to just start with Proverbs 9:8. He that giveth wisdom loves his own soul. He that keeps understanding shall find good. And we all want to find good, especially the goodness of God. Amen. 9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh a lie shall perish. Delight is not seemingly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. And here's the key verse. The discretion of man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So that word discretion, should we say good sense? Otherwise, it's a freedom to judge or to choose. It's having good judgment, okay? Carefulness in speech or action, you know, caution in our choices, what we do. It's a combination of knowing just what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. You know, it can be an art that must be developed over time with the exercise of experience and the application of God's Holy Spirit. You know, the ability to avoid words, actions, attitudes, which could result in undesirable consequences. So that discretion is very important for a man to have. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And that word deferreth, what's that mean? It means to suspend, withhold, or you know, to withhold until a certain time or an event, postpone your anger. You know, there's a time and a place for anger. There's good and there's bad, you know, anger. We're going to talk about that, but there's a time when that anger needs to be postponed. It needs to be held back. Okay. And that's why you have that discretion to make judgments, to be cautious in what you say or do. In your anger, you know, when this anger may rise up within you. And, you know, mostly this is about looking in the mirror, but also, you know, we have to look at it as others, that this could be coming at you, you know, so then you don't want to have that anger rise up on you, because just because you may have said something and somebody else got all anger and then another blasting back at you. So it's like a two-way street, you know, but here it's more talking about, I think, you know, looking in a mirror. And this transgression, his glory to pass a transgression. You know, and transgression is like a violation. Sometimes used synonymously with sin or a violation of the law through ignorance. An act that goes against a law, rule, a code of conduct. You know, we all have a code of conduct. We need God's word as our code. You know, it could refer to ways that people violate the trust of others. You know, we were just talking about trust. Like the betrayal of a relationship. Let's go to, let me think here. Let's go to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. Verse 11. And in Proverbs 2, the whole Proverbs is about the reward of heeding wisdom. That's why we need wisdom and discernment to heed wisdom, you know, in cases like this where this anger may rise up within us or maybe against us. You know, we need wisdom. We need to heed wisdom on how to deal with that. But in Proverbs 2, verse 11, it says, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. And so it's pretty important. And let's go up a couple of verses here. Oh, how far do I want to go? Well, it's just talking about wisdom, okay? And there's so much in the first how many chapters in Proverbs about wisdom. How, you know, I believe it's a, you know, spiritual, definitely spiritual, but I mean, it's a, wisdom is a spirit, part of a, from God. He layeth up verse 7, well, let's go to 6. Man, I just want to start at the top and read down, but verse 6, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So, Father God, right now, we just thank you for wisdom. We ask that you would give us wisdom out of your mouth, because your word says cometh knowledge and understanding. We want to understand your word, Father God. So we just thank you right now, Lord, that when we look at your word, when we ponder your word and dissect your word, we just ask that it would get deep into our hearts and that we could have understanding so that we can have, so that we can deal with the anger, the angry birds out there, Lord, that we don't want to become like the angry birds. We don't want to be angry people. Verse 7, he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. So this sound wisdom for the righteous, those that are right standing with the Lord. So we just need that. We need to be right standing. Verse 8, he keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Wow, he keeps the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. You know, we walk through life every day making judgments, good, bad, indifferent. Right. You know, I mean, that's just, you know, we judge if we should eat that candy bar or not. You know, or should we take a right or left or whatever, you know. And so with wisdom and understanding, you know, he guides us on that path, the paths of judgment, which will preserve the way of his saints. We just thank you, Lord, that you preserve us. Verse 9, then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Verse 10, then wisdom entereth into thy heart, when wisdom into thy heart, and knowledge, it is pleasant unto thy soul. That's awesome. You know, we need that wisdom to enter into our hearts, and knowledge that it is pleasant to thy soul. Because that's where we make all our judgments, through the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. You know, when something is said to us, or we hear something, and what does that do? It's always going to create an emotion, right? And so it's what you do with that emotion, your will. You know, this whatever enters the mind creates this emotion, and then you have a free will. And what you do with that free will is what you're going to be judged on.
That's right. Come on, preach.
You know, so that's why we need this understanding of a righteous judgment, you know, and to judge righteously. For then, verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Ain't that awesome?
Yes.
And why do we need that? Why do we need that discretion to preserve us, to walk, you know, in the way pleasing to the Lord? Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, perverse things. And, you know, we're seeing that all over the board, man. Everything is almost perverse today. Twisted and half truths and deception and people deceiving with half truths, you know, it's just, so we really need that wisdom and understanding of the times. And it's interesting too, anger, okay, just the word anger, the emotion of instant displeasure, indignation, arising from the feeling or injury done or not intended or from the discovery of offense against the law. You know, those emotions that I just talked about, you know, something could be said to you, you see, whatever, an emotion. We have to be able to control our emotions. And especially the emotion of anger. And I looked that word up, you know, anger in, you know, I was surprised to even see it in my Bible dictionary. I never thought about, you know, anger that much. But I want to read what it says in my Bible dictionary. The anger attributed to God in the New Testament is that in God, which stands opposed to man's disobedience, obstinance, especially in resisting the gospel and sin, and manifests itself in punishing the same. Anger is not evil per se, being as love, an original can't pronounce this word, excuse me. Substantibility of our nature. If anger were in itself sinful, how could God himself be angry? You know, there's a lot of scriptures how God is angry. So it's not sinful until it's what you do with that anger. Paul commands the Ephesians that when angry, we are not to sin, Ephesians 4:26. Paul does not forbid the being angry in itself and could not forbid it because there is a holy anger, which is the spur to virtue. We're going to talk about that word here in a minute. And there is also a divine anger, but the being angry is to be without sin. And that's the whole key. And that's why we need what wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we sin, you know, when this anger comes up in us or at us, you know, that it rises up, you know, and sometimes too soon. And if it does without reflection, when the injury which awakens it is only apparent when it is disproportionate to the offense, when it is transferred from the guilty to the innocent, when it is too long protracted and becomes revengeful. But you know, then this one verse, and I read it to you from the King James, but the New Living Transition says sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that translation in a minute, but what I want to go back to that word anger. It's interesting that the word anger is only used 5 times in the New Testament. It's used over 220 times in the Old Testament. Angry is only used 7 times in the New Testament, 37 times in the Old Testament. Anguish, 3 times in the New Testament, 14 times in the Old Testament. Angered is only used 1 time in the Bible, and it's in the Old Testament. And the reason why I'm finding this interesting is because of some verses I'm gonna share here in a minute. But look at how many times it's used. It's hardly even used really in the New Testament compared to the Old Testament. And I just found that kind of interesting. And then I'm turning back into my Biblical Encyclopedic Index in my Bible. And again, I was kind of and I just did this just a little bit ago, turned to this back here, and I thought, wow, I wonder if it's even, if the word anger is even in the Encyclopedia Index, you know, because it's specific words back there, you know, whatever. And wow, there's almost a whole page on anger, and these are different scriptures that relate to anger or anguish. Well, I guess it's about a half a page here. I just want to run down this quick, and starting with anger of God. Okay, it's caused by man's, you know, when God gets angry, it's caused by man's sin. And each one of these that I say, there's a scripture that relates to it. And we're not going to go to all this, for no way we would have the time in a week to go through all these scriptures. And it's caused by unbelief. Wow. Did you know God gets angry because of unbelief at us? Our error, disobedience, idolatry. That's a big one today, ain't it? Anger of God is described as sometimes delayed, slow. That's what we need, boys. Slow to anger, Lord. Just slow to anger at us till we come to our senses, maybe. Brief, moderate, fierce, destructive, powerful, not eternal, irresistible. Each one of those words, you know, a guy could look up and study, and it's like, wow. You know, as I just look at him and ponder at him, and you never knew of so much about anger. The anger of God, it's a visitation upon, and then it's a bunch of different people in the Bible, Miriam and Aaron, Israelites, Balaam, Moses, Israel, Aaron, wicked cities, a land, a king. And I'm sure this is just a few of them. But anger of God is deliverance from, by what? Intercessory. Prayer. You know, that's why intercessory prayer is so important. Decisive action. Obedience. Executing the guilty, atonement. You know, you can look up the wrath of God on that, and that'll give you more. And then there's anger of Jesus, provoked by unbelievers. anger of man caused by a brother's deception. Well, and we're seeing that a lot. A wife's complaint, inhuman crimes, a leader's indignation, a people's idolatry, the spirit's arousal, a brother's jealousy, a king's jealousy, righteous indignation, unrighteous dealings, failure of astrologers, harsh treatment. Wow, it's a lot of different categories, and there's more and more down here. I'm just going to stop there, but there's so many different things about anger. It just kind of freaks me out, you might say. But I want to go back to this New Living Translation of this one scripture in Proverbs 19:11. And it's, again, it says, sensible people control their temper, and they earn respect by overlooking wrongs. And it's the overlooking wrongs that I thought, huh, that's interesting. And to me, it's kind of, I don't know, strange words how they do it, you know. And that's what you know, defer to his anger. You know, you're putting your anger back. But overlooking wrongs. You know, we can somewhat overlook, but still we need not to be taken advantage of. You know, and that's kind of, I guess I'm looking at it as someone else's anger that's toward you. You know, we need to be able to analyze, study the situation out in a way to understand, you know, what's going on here, you know, in this conflict, this anger, what this anger is causing me towards someone else or to myself, you know. Why am I angry at this situation that I'm in, whatever it is? It might not even be against somebody else. It might be because of your car. You might be angry at your car. So there's so many different aspects to it. But when it's anger of someone coming against you, or you against someone else, you know, it can't be overlooked. In a way, yeah, we need to overlook it. Okay, go on, carry on. But still, we need to analyze that so that next time, or, you know, we can pray about it, that doesn't happen again. You know, so that we can understand more about it to make wise choices. You know, how to handle ourselves or how to handle others. You know, what's the results? You know, what are the results going to be if we don't handle it right? You know, and that's, you know, if we don't handle that anger right, it could blow up and it could even get worse and worse and cause all kinds of other issues, strife, bitterness. Let's see here. You know, this verse suggests that a person's moral excellence and integrity are beneficial to themselves in being honor and respect from others. It also speaks to the ability to forgive, which is so important. I mean, that we just need to highlight that. And let go wrongs done against oneself or others. Okay. So if this verse suggests a person's moral excellence and integrity are beneficial, right? Which we know it is, to themselves. Let's turn to Philippians 4. Thought I had it marked out here, Philippians. Ephesians. Philippians 4. Philippians 4 is the first part of it is about rejoicing in the Lord. But verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there's that word, if there be any praise, think on these things. But that word virtue means moral excellence, goodness, kindness. So this what they're saying here is if this verse suggests moral excellence and integrity are beneficial to ourselves, and they bring honor and respect from others. So that's why we need this discretion, you know, and not rise up with anger against someone else to try and handle the situation, you know, with goodness and kindness. Because then, and even if someone else is angry at us, and then we don't get angry back at them, we're going to handle it with what? With, you know, with moral excellence, with virtue. And when we do this, verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And ain't that so important to have peace? Peace with yourself, peace with others. You know, we need to have that ability to forgive and to let go wrongs done against, you know, oneself. Boy, now I got to look at a mirror on that, as we all do. You know, wisdom yields patience. We have to have patience with ourselves, with others, and make wise choices in the future about what? About, well, whatever's the issue here, that whatever happened, that this anger rose up in you. You know, what's in your heart is we have to think about. You know, and we don't know what's in other people's hearts. That's another reason why we have to have discretion, and we have to really step back and think about, you know, because we don't know why this anger rose up in someone else's heart against us. You know, we have to ask the Lord for that wisdom and understanding of the situation. You know, but only God knows our heart. You know, how we can handle this situation next time. You know, if this happens again, we have to, you know, have wisdom to handle it next time. It'll be to our benefit and others, hopefully. Let's turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. And here in Matthew 5, verses 21 through 26 is about, you know, these are in red. These are word Jesus speaking. And it's Jesus and anger is how it's titled. And let's go down to verse 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, which means vain fellow, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. You know, this is about an improper attitude to the unrighteously anger with another person. You know, it makes one subject to God's judgment. But I was looking at this, and I want to read this again. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause. So let's stop there and think about that. Without a cause. You know, there has to be a cause to have anger. You know, this anger flares up in you because of something your brother has done to you. Is there really a cause for that anger? You know, that's where what we have to really examine ourselves. You know, why is this anger rising up in us? Let's go to Ephesians 4:26. Ephesians 4. Well, let's just read this here. Ephesians 4. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And this is interesting because this here in Ephesians chapter 4, the last part of it from like verse 14 to the end, verse 23, is about the new life in Christ. Okay. So I want to go up to, where is it here? Okay, verse 23, I guess. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's just about putting off, I guess you should go to 22, and ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So we're to put off the old man. This is about the new man. And be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That's why we need to renew our mind, and we need to be in God's word. We need to get into it. So because God's word is what? It's knowledge. And he can give us, we gain wisdom through his word. Verse 24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one another. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Again, verse 26:7, neither give place to the devil. Because that's what happens when we have anger and it rises up in us. And if we don't handle that anger right, it's going to give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So we're to do good. But what he's saying is, you know, when you have anger, there's a righteous anger, but don't sin. You know, and this is talking, it's interesting because it's, you know, when we have a new life in Christ, that's how we're to operate. You know, if we're not, we're operating in the old man. We're not in Christ. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So here we are again in Colossians. In chapter 3, and the first part of it is about a new life in Christ, just like it was in Ephesians that we just said. It's about putting off the old man and putting on the new, not walking in anger. Not only anger, but wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy conversation out of your mouths. I'm gonna go up here to the first verse in Colossians 3. And it's interesting, the very first word, if. And it's interesting here too. I got it highlighted with a question mark. If ye then be risen with Christ, you know, if you've been born again, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Let your affection on these things, let your affection on these, on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory. Mortify, you know, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil cupidity and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. So, you know, there was always a time, I can ponder back and think about it. There was times when I walked like that. you know, with some of these things. But with the new life in Christ, we're to put off. And that's what 8 says, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication of our mouths. You know, putting off the old man with its deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So we really have to examine our heart when this anger rises up in us. We have to be careful what we do. You know, some of the first step in handling sinful anger is prayer. You know, we must confess our sinful anger to God. 1 John 1:9. And to others, Ephesians 4:31-32. And then most importantly also to ourselves. Proverbs 8:13 and Proverbs 16:8 talk about that, how we need to confess sinful anger. And we have to acknowledge that, wow, this anger keeps coming up in me. You know, second, we rejoice, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, and give thanks, Philippians 4:6, knowing that overcoming this will mature us spiritually, James 1:2-4. So we need to rejoice. Hey, wow, we're acknowledging this anger or whatever. And then we're rejoicing that, wow, you know, we can give it to God. And he's faithful, and, you know, we can trust him that he's forgives us. You know, and as we acknowledge it and rejoice in it, and we get our nose in the word and study, you know, we can grow out of that. We can mature. And third, we ask the Holy Spirit, John 14:16, Acts 1:8. You know, we ask the Holy Spirit to control our behavior. Help us to control that. Galatians 5:16. You know, and to remove this anger from our lives, Ephesians 4:31. You know, 7 steps to overcome anger: quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, have a contingency plan for long-term change, forgive like Jesus, so important, remove yourself from unsafe place. And there's a lot on anger. There's so much about it. And we just see that today. There's so much anger in the world. You know, and I'm just going to give you an example. And this has happened, I think I shared this a while back, when I was with my family, and it was a wedding, and me and my mom and my sister, and I think my brother-in-law, we went thrift store shopping. And my phone beeped. And I thought, what's that? You know, and I looked at it, and it's, you know, you get all these messages coming in, you know, about political stuff from the Republican Party. And it's like, how did they get my number? You know, and you delete it, and you try and block it, and an hour later you get another one, and before, it's just never ending. You're always getting these messages coming in on your phone from the Republican Party, you know, from Trump or his son or some other senator or whatever, you know, and it's like aggravating. But here we are driving to this thrift store, and my phone beeps, and I look at it, and it was a message from Trump's son, something, you know, whatever, support their agenda and all that. And I just mentioned that. I go, oh, it's another message from Trump, you know, and or his son, you know, I'm tired of getting all these messages. And that's all I said. And my sister just blew up on me. It was like anger. It's like, whoa. I just freaked out. You know, my mom looks at me and, but this anger, there's so much anger in the world. It's so sad. But anyway, I guess that's my message today. And we could really dive into this. There's so many scriptures about anger, and it's just, it's so sad, you know, because it creates division, you know, and I believe there's so much anger out there, and I haven't looked into this, and maybe it should dive into this a little deeper, but I think it's pride. People's pride that causes anger. They don't want to back down that, hey, you're in the wrong, or maybe I'm in the wrong, and I'm angry about a situation. But this pride rises up and creates this anger, whatever. And we see a lot of that, you know. So anyway, I'm going to end there. And so, Father God, we just thank you right now for your word, Lord. We just ask that we could be delivered from any anger, Lord. We just acknowledge, you know, when there's anger in our hearts, Lord, toward ourselves, others, or situations, Lord. We just thank you that you would show us a better way,
yes,
Lord. Deliver us from that spirit of anger, malice, and strife and bitterness, Lord. We don't want that. We want to walk in a way that's pleasing to you, Lord. So we just ask that you would direct our paths, Lord, that we would have that peace that surpasses all understanding, that would guard over our hearts and our minds, Lord, through Christ Jesus, to guard over our hearts, you know, from that anger of the world, Lord, that anger, that so much anger out there that we see, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to guard our hearts from that anger and not take it to heart, Lord, to show us how to deal with it, and understanding how to help other people, Lord, to be the light that you have called us to be, Lord, that we can help others to, in their anger, Lord, that they wouldn't be so angry at us or other people. You know, we may see other people, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord that are angry about something. And, you know, so we need to have a conversation about them, Lord. So we just thank you that you'd give us wisdom in dealing with angry situations, you know, if it's in us or others or whatever it is, Lord. Just, we just thank you, Lord, that as we ponder this and think about this, Lord, and that you would give us understanding on how to deal with anger. And so we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So I just thank everybody for being here. I don't know how to do this computer to read chat, if there's any questions or anything like that, but so I just hope everybody will have
You just sign off after you're done. Take them on and hit the far right button down there. It says,
leave meeting.
Say bye, everybody. We love you.
Yep. Mama says goodbye, and we hope everybody has a blessed day with peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we just pray safety over everybody, Lord, that that God's, he's given each one of us angels charge over us, Lord, that they would pick us up in their hands if any harm would come near us, Lord. So we just thank you for protection over everybody's spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So goodbye, everybody, and have a great day.